Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As our gospel passage opens, it's Passover time for the Jews, and Jesus is in Jerusalem. Where else would he be? He's a good Jew. Good Jews go to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, in the gospel according to John, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and people were talking about this. They were saying things like, who is this man? How can he do things like that? And some people were saying things like this with admiration, but others were furious. And the angry ones were even more upset when Jesus rode into Jerusalem like a king, as the crowds waved the palm branches and shouted, Hosanna. The disciples obviously ate it up. They loved it. They loved to see Jesus elevated in this way. Now, given all of the amazing things that Jesus was saying and doing, perhaps it wasn't surprising that sooner or later, people who weren't Jews would start to pay attention to him. But the disciples didn't really want it to be like that. Jews should be taking care of Jews. His message was only for them, or so they thought. There they were, this cozy little band of disciples worshiping at the Passover festival. And can you imagine, some Greeks said that they wanted to see Jesus. And they were Gentiles, you can tell. They're not Jews. And you can imagine what most of the disciples would have said to these Greeks, because they just were not interested in hanging out with any Gentiles. But these Greek Gentiles were very clever. They went to Philip as their point of contact, perhaps because Philip is a Greek-related name. And Philip didn't dismiss them immediately. Instead, he checked it out with Andrew, and the two of them went to see Jesus. Can you imagine the nerve of them telling Jesus that some outsiders were considering becoming disciples? Greeks were not welcome. Jesus was just for Jews. So why did Jesus respond the way he did? Why did he say to Philip and Andrew, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified? Well, little did the disciples know what he meant by that, by his hour. But after it all was over, it almost seemed as if Jesus had been waiting for those Greeks all along. What on earth was Jesus' hour? Well, it's become clear after the fact that Jesus meant the hour of his death and resurrection, the time of his glorification, the time when everything would be revealed. And somehow the arrival of the Greeks and their question to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus, somehow that prompted something in Jesus. It was almost like an alarm clock went off, ringing really loudly and proclaiming, time to get up. The hour has come. Jesus, your hour is here. Why would the Greeks have that effect? Well, for one thing, the fact that the Gentiles were interested in finding out more about Jesus, that signaled that Jesus' ministry was about to reach beyond the house of Israel. But Jesus was so associated with the Jews that some people even called him the King of the Jews. And they wanted to return to the glory days of Israel. They didn't want any kingdom where the Gentiles had a part of it. And it was only Jesus' death that could bring about a change in that attitude. Jesus' death would get rid of the idea of a king just for the Jews and raise up one who was the savior of all. The hour had come. The hour had come for all. Not just the Jews, the hour, the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And that meant that the hour had come for Jesus to die on the cross. John's gospel, the fourth gospel, interprets Jesus' death a little bit differently than do the other three. This gospel doesn't view Jesus' death as a ransom to redeem us, or as a sacrifice for our sins. Instead, John's gospel shows us that Jesus' death is life-giving. Jesus' death results in a community that is formed, a community that is much broader than the original group of disciples. After Jesus' death, what it meant to be a disciple changed. After his death, a disciple was somebody who serves Jesus with the goal of being restored to relationship with God and others. So those original disciples had to learn that their desire to turn inward and to focus on their own survival, that was to turn their backs on God. It was Jesus' death and resurrection that taught them to do otherwise. As the disciples came to know Jesus more fully through this hour of his passion, they realized that it was also the hour to welcome Gentiles, to welcome strangers among them. The time had come to fling open the doors to a broader and more inclusive community. So this little story, I think, illustrates to my mind a way in which the disciples were changed. A number of years ago, I attended regularly a short midweek worship service at an Episcopal church. And the priest had, on this particular day, the priest had just read the scripture and reflected on it very briefly, and he had anointed the small gathering of regulars with fragrant oil for healing. And he had started the communion liturgy. Now, this was at most a half-hour worship service, and already about 25 minutes had gone by. But then the outside door opened, and a woman ducked in hastily. She was not a regular. No one recognized her. And she was dressed in an extremely short, tight skirt, and her makeup was very strongly applied. The priest was all ready to serve the communion elements. And he first would give the round wafer that represented the body of Christ and the bread of heaven, and then the single cup of wine that signified the blood of Christ and the cup of salvation. And the regulars who had gathered in a small circle, they wanted that spiritual food. They yearned for it, and their mouths were watering slightly. But what about this woman? Did she know that she had interrupted a worship service? Had she ever even had communion before? She was an outsider, if there ever was one, a Greek. Did she deserve to receive that communion, those communion elements? She moved kind of uncertainly toward the circle, unsure about whether she was welcome or not. And finally, one person kind of held out a hand as if to say, "Please join us." So she did join in her idiosyncratic way. When the priest gave her the bread, she curtsied to him. And when he gave her the cup that was meant for everyone to share, she drank most of it and said, "Thank you." And then as everyone turned to go, she was already rummaging in her bag for a cigarette. And at the door, she told the priest what sounded like some pretty high-flown fantasies, saying that she had a very important job as a NASA scientist and that she was planning to participate in the Summer Olympics. She was not like the regulars. None of them looked like a streetwalker. And all of them knew what time the worship service was supposed to start. But she had come at the hour when the blood and the body of Christ were being shared. And by participating in Christ's death and resurrection, she became one of that group, even the regulars. And so as they shook her hand, they said, "Please come again. It's good to have you with us." And they meant it. The hour when Jesus is lifted up in glory is marked by unexpected people asking to be part of the community of faith. And that hour is almost upon us. When the time of trial comes, will we extend a welcoming hand? will we realize that Christ's death brings us together with all insiders and outsiders. As we serve others, we serve Christ, and whoever serves him, the Father will honor. And so may we lift up Jesus' name in glory by opening our doors to relationship with all whom God sends us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.